Welcome to 33 Tangents, a podcast discussing a wide variety of topics from digital analytics to working remotely to current happenings in business and technology. Your hosts, Jason Thompson, John Narang, and myself, Jim Driscoll, all live in different areas of the world, but work together in the same company. Our regular day-to-day conversations often go off in various directions, and the goal of this podcast is to share our ideas and find new ways to engage with others. So, you know, just before my mic died, you would ask kind of what we wanted to talk about today. And it's something I've been thinking about. And it's I think it's something we talk about in cycles internally. The idea of meetings and just like suffering, you know, a form of, you know, a death of a thousand cuts with the, you know, with meetings all over the place. John, I know you're, you know, you keep very tight control of your calendar, the way you structure things. I was doing that, and then just something happened, and over the last couple of weeks, like the meetings have gotten out of control again. And one of the things, like, you know, you think about is with our line of work, you know, meetings are essential in some ways, but then when do they cross that line from being essential to working with a client, providing a solution, and properly delivering value to, you know, that line they cross to, they become superfluous and time wasters? Because I know there's, you know, some days, it's usually on Wednesdays, where I spend more time in meetings and preparing for meetings than anything else. So that's why I kind of want to throw it out there. You know, let's talk about meetings. You know, what can be done to limit the negative impact of meetings while still making clients feel like, you know, they're getting a value.
So
they're getting something of value.
So I have a couple thoughts. Right. Yeah. No, this is a good
one. Let me in there. No, just kidding.
Okay. John, you go, and I'm going to put it on mute. I'm going to tell Alexa. No. You go, because I have to tell Alexa this. About the music got too loud in the background. So you go.
Okay. Well. I mean, as you alluded to, I'm pretty. I take a pretty tough stance against meetings in general. Usually, I try to limit them as much as possible, and I think this kind of stems historically from when I used to work, you know, more normal in the office type jobs. It got to a point, especially at certain companies, which I will remain nameless, but where, you know, it didn't take much for your entire day to just be gone from meetings. And a lot of them were, you know, it seemed like the people scheduling the meetings usually have good intentions. I mean, I don't think anyone schedules a meeting to purposely just waste time. You know, someone always thinks it's important. But I think sometimes meetings are scheduled because of someone being a little bit lazy. I'm going to take some harsh, hardline controversial views in this conversation, but I think sometimes things that can be discussed over email or can be written out. You know, I've seen a lot of meetings where it's like, you know, a small group of people just like, and the organizer was basically like, oh, instead of writing, you know, whatever we're going to talk about out, or I thought it would be easier just to meet, you know, but then all of a sudden that wastes three or four people's times, uses up, you know, instead of one person using the time, maybe a little bit longer to organize their thoughts in an email or something that, you know, everyone else could absorb at their leisure. I think meetings can become very disruptive to your flow. I don't know. I mean, it got to such a bad point. I when I think of meetings, I think of having to schedule, block off time in my calendar just so they wouldn't be overbooked, just so I could take like a lunch break or something. And that just was getting ridiculous. So I got to a point where I was just blocking off almost my entire day for work, which seems like such a crazy thing to do. The result having not many meetings in my calendar. I don't know. I can expand, but I'll let someone else talk.
it's true, and I think part of it is the real cost of context switching, and this is probably a whole other podcast, but I've been putting a lot of thought into my daily routine. And that's one of the things that I noticed is that I probably should put my do not disturb on my.
This is a great analogy. Like that right? All the sound in the office is basically like a meeting happening. I'm just kidding. distracting to the flow of the conversation. Yeah,
so you know that's kind of what my day is, and you know, meetings are a big part of that. Where you're in the flow, you know, you're recording a great podcast and, you know, you have something, a meeting invite come up, someone calls, I get an alert that someone mentioned me on social media. And like, it's crazy that we think, you know, why can't we focus? And so I'm trying really hard to figure out how to create those pockets of focus, but it's, yeah, I mean, Jim's probably looking at my calendar and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how am I going to get anything done with this, you know, breadth of meetings. So two things that initially came to mind, you know, different than the path John's going down, but two thoughts that I had. One, meetings when done right are extremely valuable. Case in point, I was working with a client recently where we had probably 2 or 3 days and there were multiple people on this email thread trying to resolve an issue. And I finally said, guys, let's stop. Let's schedule a 15, 20 minute meeting. Let's do a screen share. Let's make sure there's nothing being lost in translation. And let's just walk through this issue. And within like 10 minutes, we had solved the problem. Because what was happening is trying to do it via email, you know, we were talking the same language, but we were saying completely different things. And really all it took was everyone getting on a call for 15 minutes, showing, you know, throwing up a screen share and saying, here's what I'm seeing. This is why it's, okay, I get it. Now I was thinking something totally different. So, you know, there are definitely going to be times where having a meeting can actually end up saving you a ton of time if done correctly. Now, from a services perspective, it's all about who's driving and what role are you taking? And by that, I mean, are you kind of getting tossed around with the seas of complex client engagements, or are you taking a very strong leadership position to drive projects towards solutions? And I had a boss several years ago that said something to me and said, go through your calendar and take a look at all of the meeting invites you have on the calendar. If there are more meeting invites that you're not the creator of, you're not in control. They're in control. And we have to remember that they're hiring us because they need our help. And so taking a more proactive approach to how we engage and setting expectations is critically important to any services industry. If you don't go in and give a clear map to how we're going to engage, then the default is going to be, well, this is how we do things internally. And we have to remember, again, they're bringing us in because they're trying to solve a problem because what has been happening internally isn't working. And so I think a big part of the blame for over-scheduling, and again, this is purely from a services perspective, is service companies not taking a strong leadership position and not setting expectations on how an engagement is going to work. And so when that happens, you simply fall into the existing flow where typically for most corporations, everything is a meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely agree that meetings can be done right. I guess, yeah, my point was just that it's very easy to, you know, probably more so in the non-services world, that like, it's just very easy to throw a meeting. It's easier to throw a meeting on the calendar than to really think through what the meeting should even be about sometimes. And I just remember anecdotally so many people saying, oh, my whole day's gone because all I did today was meet. And it's just very easy to get into the bureaucracy part of the work, mm-hmm. instead of actually doing the work.
Definitely. And yeah, you know, there are definitely situations where meetings are necessary. They prevent things from just spiraling. You know, they prevent an email mm-hmm. thread from just spiraling out of control. But on the flip side of it, like I love that meme, like, you know, I was just in a meeting that could have been handled via an email. right? Because you're right, John. It's easy just to throw a meeting up on the calendar, and then, you know, and there's, you know, people that just accept by default. And the next thing you know, it's everyone comes in. Because Jason, to your point about, you know, you had a boss years ago that told you to look at your calendar. I also had a boss, you know, that talked about like punctuality when it comes to meetings, starting on time and ending on time. Like if you end early, just, you know, if you cover the topic and you know, end it and leave, and then say, well, we have 20 minutes. What else would you like to cover?
That's a good one.
You know, and his point was, is okay, there's five people in the meeting and you're 5 minutes late. You just wasted 25 minutes worth of time, 5 minutes from everybody. And then the same thing where, okay, you schedule an hour, this thing gets covered in, you know, 40 minutes, you know, end it right there. Don't try to just fit in something else because you have the time, because you're, you know, you're burning
absolutely
time.
So I think there's some things people can do to help make meetings more efficient too. Like there's like the organizer has to send an agenda or something well thought out, I think, to structure the meeting and who's ever driving the meeting. But I think what's often forgot about are the attendees of the meeting too, should have to pay attention. And I think some organizations are more strict about this than others. But I've seen so many times where the attendees of a meeting are working on something else while they're in the meeting, you know, on their laptops, constantly distracted. And then whenever they're supposed to have their input, you know, there's always like, could you say that again?
Repeat that.
Yeah, could you repeat that actually? I didn't quite get that.
And it's easier, you know, it's easier to work on things when you're working remotely because no one sees you there answering that email on the other screen. No one sees you there, you know, responding to a Slack request. So then it's like, what was that again? Can you say that again?
I only have one screen, so I have to pay attention.
but yeah, I definitely agree with the agenda piece. And, you know, there's meetings. Sorry, Jason, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I finish your train of thought, but I have a remind me if I forget. I have kind of a side topic around the whole, you know, can you repeat that conversation?
You can picture a million people saying that now.
So anyway, I was thinking about with the agenda, what I found to keep meetings on track, like right now, what I'm seeing is just the number of meetings blow up and I'm trying to get that back under control. But the meetings that I do have regularly, one of the things I found to keep them on track and on point is a lot of times what I will do, like to manage the scheduling of it, I'll delegate that to say like a PM on, like I have a couple clients where there's like a dedicated PM to it. So I delegate to them like the scheduling and managing of everybody's schedules. But then I take it upon myself to make sure I send out an agenda, even if it's three or four bullet points. You know, here's what we're talking here. Here's what I want to talk about today. You know, let me know if there's any other topics. So this way, there's one client I do that, you know, before I send it out about 2 hours at a time. Here are my topics for today. And sometimes they'll come back and say, can we add these two? So we know when we're going in there, we have six things we need to cover. And then when we're done, you know, we're done. And it's just like a little thing like that keeps them on pace. So you don't run into this thing where it's, okay, we just spent an hour talking, but we didn't actually cover anything. Now, with that one client, we also have some fun conversations usually to start off, but we still get them accomplished. So, yeah, I think you're just a little nuancy thing. And again, it's what works for everybody, but I found just the agenda prior to a meeting makes all the difference in keeping it on point.
Yeah, incredibly important.
Can you repeat that?
You're funny.
I'll see myself out now. no, but I can't stop thinking about the can you repeat that? Because this is probably a whole other topic. We should probably keep a running list of future topics that come up in these conversations. But I mean, that's an interesting one in that it makes meetings that are not as valuable as they should be and honestly drag out longer than they should. And you know, that's an interesting topic maybe we should take on next is the timing component. In that one of the things that I've found is that humans by nature like to fill things. So if you buy a, you know, 44-ounce drink at the restaurant and you go to the dispenser to fill it up with your favorite soda, you're going to fill it full, right? Because, mm-hmm. well, I have this container. I should fill the container full. It just seems like a natural part of our psychology that we like to fill containers. And think about it from a work perspective. You know, whether it's a project with a certain timeline, how often do you get the project done before the due date? It's typically like, well, I have 6 weeks, so I need to fill that 6 week container with work. Mm-hmm. And I think we take the same approach with meetings. If we schedule 30 minutes, we typically find, you know, well, what are we going to use to fill that 30 minutes? And so I think there's 2 points. One, do we really need to be scheduling meetings at 30 and 60 minute intervals? But two, can we be content with getting the work done and then moving on? You know, so that's a thought, and maybe we address that next. But quickly, my thought on the, can you repeat that? I don't think people are inherently jerks and are trying to, you know, not give value to the conversations that are at hand. But unfortunately, too many times in corporate settings, people are being asked to do far more than they're physically capable of doing in a given 40-hour quote unquote work week. And I think that's the outcome, is that they see meetings as opportunities to get away from the distractions to actually get work done. And I think that's what's happening so often. I know I've been in there. I've been in meetings where we've been all around the table, and I'm seeing people like not paying attention to the conversation and just heads down in their laptop. And I'm like, is this person really being an ass, or are they just so overwhelmed that they're like, oh, I finally have a break in my day. I can catch up on those 20 emails. I can get that one project out the door. You know, so that's a very real component that I think companies need to address, that, you know, if this is happening in meetings, is it something that we're creating by asking people to do more than they're really capable of doing in an average work week?
Well, you have a very optimistic perspective, I feel, on that. Like, for me, I feel like I think some people don't even know why they're in the meeting. Like, if they're invited, so they feel like they can just, you know, do whatever they want. But then I also wonder if it's partially due to the culture of is there like a, like, why don't people just decline the meeting? Like, I feel like people are also feel obligated to always accept every invitation they get sometimes.
Yep. And I've actually worked with project managers where they would just blindly send an invite. I would decline it. Like, I have a conflict at this time. And, you know, they would get upset, or they would invite me to a meeting that has just no, you know, like there's no point for me to be there. And I would decline it. Well, what, you know, and then it's like, well, when can you attend? I'm like, there's no point in me attending. You want me there because, like, I guess maybe I'm a security blanket. Right. Like, yeah. I'm going to get like a little blunt and raw, but, like, you know, am I a security blanket? And you need me there, even though, like, there's no real reason for me to be there. I've run into that, and you're right. Cause people are either bullied into attending a meeting or are too polite to decline. Or if you want everyone to show up, you have coffee and donuts or some other kind of food, you know, at your meeting, and boom, everyone's there.
That's an interesting point you brought up too, about the, it seems like the only acceptable reason to decline a meeting is if you have a conflict. And if you don't have a conflict on your calendar, then why shouldn't, then you're obligated to attend. There's never like a, oh, I don't feel like I should be there, so I'm not going to decline. Like, that, it doesn't seem like that's generally an acceptable response. But it should be.
Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of comes back to what I was saying in the beginning. Because I think there's this level of guilt where it's like, well, meetings are necessary for us to get done. Meetings are necessary to make the client feel like they're receiving value. Meetings are necessary to help internal stakeholders move along with their tasks. So, yeah, I need to attend. And then next thing you know, everybody mm-hmm. else owns your calendar and nothing can get done. And again, kind of going back to some of those project managers I work with, I got to a point about 4 years ago, four and a half years ago, where I just blindly blocked my entire calendar. And, you know, they were starting to get upset. Like, I don't know when I can schedule time. Well, reach out to me. I will let you know if I can attend or not. But, you know, don't take it just because you put time on my calendar, because they were also ones that if they put time on your calendar, they assumed you were going to be there. And like my boss even came to me like, they're really upset with you. I'm like, I understand that. But if I unblock my calendar, I completely get this. And I mean, this is when I was getting kind of pushed to my limits, because again, like they would send an invite, assume I was going to be there, and then get really upset when I would decline. And nothing else was getting done. My days were spent in meetings. And I'm like, and she's like, they're getting upset with you. I'm like, I understand that. But if they really value my time and really want me to be there and be attentive, then, you know, let me, you know, give me some idea, because there would also be no agenda, no description in the meeting invite. And I know I'm guilty of that every now and then, but I try to at least put some kind of one or two line description, like this is the point of the meeting, this is what we're coming to do, so people understand why. And, you know, I'm like, I kind of had to force their hand to say, okay, reach out to me and say, I want to be able to schedule this meeting with this client to do this. And I would either say, nope, not necessary, or okay, here are times that we can schedule it. That's how I had to, like, you know, guard my calendar with a very severe attitude.
Nothing is more demoralizing than having no control over your own day. I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like there were those days I'd be driving home and I'm just like, I didn't get anything done today. You know, nothing got done today because I just did nothing but sit in meetings and talk, and the stuff that I need to deliver is now another day behind.
In your example, like when, if you went to your, you know, if you responded to your boss saying, you know, yeah, the product managers or whoever scheduling the meetings are mad with me, but like, I can't do any work. Like, what would your boss have thought was more important? Getting work done, or, you know, making.
Well, yeah, I think it fell into those patterns of, well, the meetings are work. You know, the meetings are necessary. And I'm like, half these meetings are not necessary. We don't need to schedule an hour meeting three times a week with this client to move it forward. You know, the project manager, and I think it gets, okay, so it also ties into something we've been seeing recently with a client, where it's more just, okay, tasks are checked off a list. You know, whether they provide value or not, they're checked off. Same thing with them. Their job was to, hey, I scheduled these meetings this week. They would go to their boss. Scheduled these meetings, had these meetings with the client. We were successful this week, right? Regardless if the meetings were pointless or, you know, all 3 hours there could have been wrapped up in, you know, a 1 hour meeting. So it was along those lines.
Did you guys see the discussion this week on social media about the number of employees at Facebook?
No.
No.
I'll have to go pull it up. But there was this interesting discussion going on Twitter about how many thousands of people there are at Facebook. And the argument was that, you know, like most large corporations, it's mostly bloat. That if you really kind of bring it down to the core functionality, that only a few hundred or maybe 1,000 people are needed to make it go. And they talked about, you know, how many employees there were at Instagram when it was acquired, and other companies that were kind of operating at scale. And I think it's an interesting parallel to the conversation that we're having, is that when companies get to a certain size, they kind of lose track of having to be like as fiscally conservative around their hires. And so you just, you know, they start hiring and growing to the point where you get so many business units. And I think we were all there. I mean, my first job out of college, I had no clue what our corporate vision was, or how the work I was doing was creating revenue for the company. All I knew is like, we had to like make sure we got certain things done. And I think that's what happens when you get to a certain scale, is it's no longer about the revenue you're generating, direct revenue you're generating for a company. And it's more about sustaining your role, your business unit within a much, much larger ecosystem. And a lot of that becomes about playing games to see, you know, to show how busy you are so that you can maintain that job, that business.
Absolutely. Unit. And I mean, that kind of bleeds into just bureaucracy in general, or no matter where you look, the minute bureaucracy comes in, it has one and only goal: to grow and maintain itself. You know, its primary goal is to grow, and if it can't grow, at least maintain. And you see that all over the place. So yeah, I completely agree with that statement. So yeah, so if you're, say, a director in the PMO office, and you've got five project managers who report up into you, five or six or 10, yeah, you want to make sure all of them are busy. And you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes. They're busy. They're scheduling meetings. Yep. They're managing Microsoft projects. They're checking things off lists. Are they actually delivering the project? That remains to be seen. But you could say they performed these tasks. And part of that is scheduling meetings.
Yeah, and does it ultimately matter if they don't deliver, right? Again, I think much of it is about playing the game than it is about the actual impact it's having to the revenue of the company.
And on a side note, that's why I'll never go back to a corporation that big again. Never.
I think that's what this entire conversation is biased against.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why the three of us are here. One of the reasons why the three of us are here is, we've been burned out by that culture. And one of the core components of that kind of culture is endless meetings, where us three are people that want to actually do work, get our hands dirty, lead, design a solution, lead a client to the solution, not just come in and punch a clock. And meetings get in the way of that.
Totally agree. And I don't, and I think people listening that have roles in bigger corporations, it doesn't need to feel helpless, because I think they can actually be, they can actually create change on a pretty broad scale. One voice in a huge sea of people. So I wouldn't take it as, going back to John saying that I took a very, what did you say? Optimistic view. I'm going to be optimistic in that I think, people that are working at big companies, while it's, there's definitely some challenges in that space, can have an impact. And it really goes to my theory of creating small change that has broad reaching impact. And I kind of use the example of like dropping a pebble in a pond. You can drop a pebble and it creates a ripple that has a pretty wide impact. But if then someone else, is impacted by what you do and they drop their own pebble, it spreads and spreads and spreads, and it becomes almost like a nuclear reaction where you have all of these different things spreading from one core reaction. And, I have a friend that works for a very large corporation, and he's taken this approach. He's like, I was overwhelmed with meetings. I was not being productive. And so I set kind of a manifesto for how I was going to operate. And one of the things he said is like, look, if there are more than like three people on a meeting invite, it's an automatic decline for me. Unless someone can come and explain to me why we have to have this large group. Maybe it's a group training or company meeting or team meeting, where we're talking about overall strategy. But from a, ad hoc, day-to-day, if someone schedules a meeting with me and it has more than three people, it's a decline automatically. Start setting meetings that are at odd intervals, maybe 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. And so, while that's not going to change the way the overall business works, it is going to have an impact within his sphere of influence. And I guarantee someone's going to notice that and be like, wow, I like that approach. And then they're going to have their own approach or spin on it, and it's going to grow and grow and grow. So, people working in large companies that feel like, I can't impact the way my company does it, I would, take an optimistic view on it and say, actually, you can have more of an impact than you realize.
I totally agree. I mean, I think the key is, like, everyone can definitely have an impact. I totally agree with that. I think it's just not going with the status quo of just sitting in a meeting just because you were invited. I think you have to really think about why you're in the meeting, what the purpose is, and if you can contribute or whatnot. I remember a quote comes to my mind when I think about meetings. I don't know. It must have been written a few months ago or something. It was an article about Elon Musk and how he runs meetings. And I remember a quote of him that someone recorded was just like, if someone's in a meeting and hasn't said anything the entire meeting,
He's like, why are you in this meeting? Basically, like, what's the point? Like, basically, with the idea of, like, if you're in the meeting, you should contribute in some degree, or else what's the point of you being there?
I like that approach. Yeah, I think we just need to be more more upfront with what we're trying to solve. And I'll go back to my first job out of college. I worked at a company called Novell. I think they're not defunct, but they don't go by Novell anymore. There have been so many acquisitions. But at the time, there was this saying internally called the Novell nod. And it actually was so ubiquitous. I think that there was a company meeting where I remember Eric Schmidt talking about it, saying, you know, we have to get out of this Novell nod mentality where we schedule all of these meetings and, you know, we say something and we look around the table and everybody's nodding their head up and down. Like, if we're all going to do the Novell nod, why do we even have to have the meeting? If we're all going to agree with what the speaker is saying, there's no need to have 10 people in a meeting just to nod to reaffirm it. It's, let's just do it, you know?
Yeah, it's totally true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that goes along with the lines of just not meet, not to meet just to meet. Like, there should be a point to it. So yeah, I mean, going back to one of your original points, like, I totally agree with certain meetings being necessary, and I think those are good. I mean, I think there's no other way around them. But I guess my frustration just comes from seeing so many inefficient meetings or, you know, useless meetings, shall I say?
Meetings for the sake of meetings.
Right. Yep. Sometimes there's even meetings. I'm not, and I'm really not trying to make a joke, but I mean, I think I totally remember meetings to schedule other meetings as well.
At the height of my corporate experience, I think most larger meetings were actually three meetings, and this is not a joke, and this is actually playing along with your experience. We would have a meeting to plan a meeting. We would have the meeting. And then we would have a postmortem to discuss what we discussed in the meeting. So it wasn't just one meeting. It was any kind of meeting that was on the calendar created two additional meetings. So it was three meetings for one meeting. And you'd think that's something
that's
like
crazy. You know,
out of Silicon Valley or the IT crowd or something, but that's real. Like, I lived it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, totally.
No, I laugh because it's true.
yeah.
I may not have seen the three meetings, but I've seen the pre-meeting and then the, okay, we're going to wrap this up. I'll schedule, you know, the follow-up for us to, you know, in 2 days, to, you know, after we've had a chance to digest this, we'll review it again. And it's like, really, please,
you don't know,
you know, I've got to go schedule a root canal.
Yeah. What I'm finding crazy is that we're all talking about completely different companies, but we've all had the same experience. So it's like a systematic problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it absolutely is. And I think a lot of it has to do with the reason why a lot of people get burned out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they come in every day with their to-do list, and then these meetings come up, and then next thing you know, it's 3:30 in the afternoon and they've got nothing done for the day. So next thing you know, they'll work for a little bit, they'll go home, they'll have dinner, and then you know, they'll sit down, on the couch to watch some TV, and they'll pop the laptop back open. It's like, you know, well, what are you doing? Well, I got to finish these things up because they're due, you know, tomorrow.
Because I spent the entire day in useless meetings. Yeah, that's why it's not fair to anyone's time when those meetings are scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, because, you know, the other thing, too, is the other impact, you know, Jason, you briefly mentioned it, but I do want to spend a couple of minutes on it, is the cost of context switching. So it was maybe 5-6 years ago. I found this one study and I was showing it to my boss. I'm like, they say that, you know, a quick 5-minute interruption, you know, someone comes over to your cube and says, hey, do you have a minute? That quick 5-minute interruption actually costs you a half hour or more. Reason being is it takes you, when you have something that requires a lot of brain power, a lot of focus, yeah, it takes you 15 minutes on average to really get it going and really get deep in thought and focused on what you're doing. And I've noticed that ever since I've read that, I know, like, when there's something I really have to think about. The first 10 to 15 minutes, it's hard. It's really trying to get the brain moving. And then all of a sudden, it's almost like a runner's high. It kicks in and it's like, okay, I know what I have to do. And you're able to plow forward. But if you have meetings that are spread out throughout the day, you're not able to ever truly focus on that. So you do one of two things. You kind of just touch it here and there, that task that you have to get done, so it just takes longer to do, instead of maybe something that would have taken you, hey, 3 to 4 hours of uninterrupted time to do, it now takes up 9 to 10 hours across the entire week. Or you just don't touch it. You do all the little menial things that are on your list that normally would have taken a second or third tier as far as level of priority. You do all of those because they require less brain power, less focus, and you're getting them done in between meetings. So, I mean, there is a very real cost there. And I want to make sure we at least touch on that, that, you know, when you have meetings, say, spread out the day, you may not have 8 hours of meetings, but if you have 4 hours and there's, say, an hour, hour and a half gap in between each, you're not getting anything of real importance done when you're not in meetings.
So what's your thought? Because I think both of you have experimented with trying to compartmentalize and come up with a strategy to say, I'm going to have all my meetings in the morning or on a certain day. I think for John, it's a little bit easier because he's got the benefit of being in a drastically different time zone. But interested in your thoughts on that, and that, you know, I've kind of tried to play around with that, but it typically breaks down because no one else, you know, outside the company shares what I'm trying to do. And so, you know, it's not that they're not supported, but they have their own agendas and things that need to get done and availabilities. And when they're in the office, that it, you know, if you're working with people in an expanded circle, it seems really, really difficult to try to put something like that in play. So I'm interested in both of your thoughts on having experimented with that, and then what ideas that you have for coming up with a strategy so it's not like that. Because yeah, if you go in and look at my calendar on most days, it's a ton of meetings, and they're not all back to back to back, but it's like I have a bunch of meetings and then I have an hour break, and then a bunch of meetings, an hour break. But in that hour break, it's just not enough time to get into something to make any real progress. I can catch up on emails, but I can't really get deep into any kind of specific project.
Yeah. I mean, since you brought me up, I'll go first. But yeah, I mean, to reiterate what you said, since I'm in a different time zone and have technically less overlap with, you know, working hours of many of our clients and many of you internally, like I kind of am forced to, you know, have a smaller window. But, and it's not a perfect science, because I mean, obviously I do have occasional meetings at all over the place, and I try to be flexible. So, but at the same time, I do try to, even during that overlap, I try to compress them as closely together as possible. And it's easier to do with certain types of meetings, and, you know, internal ones for sure. So, I mean, as a starting point, I think if you want to do that, there should be no reason why we can't do that, at least with when we have meetings with each other or internal meetings. Like I actually compress them to almost be next to each other, which can be difficult, definitely, if they're different clients, for sure. But, you know, so it's easier to do internally. And you know, sometimes at first there was a little bit of anxiety, because before I used to always like to have some space between meetings, but then it kind of forces you to be a little bit more efficient with the time in the meeting when you know you have something coming up right away. You know, prepare a little bit more in advance. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's a little bit of give and take to it, but I will say for me, the advantages have been much greater than the disadvantages because of the fact that I have more time for that, you know, the flow kind of work where you're just not getting interrupted with the meeting. Cause even if you have a half hour meeting, a gap and a half hour meeting, like you're not doing any work or any effective work, I think, in that time in between. So it's kind of wasted time anyways to me. So I try to, you know, force things together so I have more non-meeting time, I guess, as a singular bucket.
Yeah, I mean, John and I first started talking about this concept last year, and I've had some success with it, but what happens is like when, you know, I just hit a period where there's a bunch of ad hoc meetings come up, or I get a little lax, it kind of falls apart. Now, during a week, I have at least, you know, on the client side, 4 recurring meetings every week. Internally, there's, you know, at least 4. So what I've tried to do is, maybe they're not all in the same block, but they are, you know, they're within the same day. So, you know, I try to keep my meetings limited to, say, Mondays and Wednesdays. Yeah, you know, try to keep absolutely no meetings on Fridays. And then that leaves some buffer time on Tuesdays and Thursdays, where maybe I'll have a meeting or two then, but mostly Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays are focused on actually accomplishing, you know, items. And, you know, fortunately, and right now, you know, it's pretty good. Like, I've got, you know, I'm working with a few clients that are really, really good about not always having that one-off meeting. Yes, there's times where it's like, hey, can we chat for 15 minutes? We're usually pretty good about using Slack or email to handle things. But, you know, if it gets just a little too deep and we need some real back and forth, we'll jump on the phone. Or it's the, hey, I've got this question. Want the rest of the team to hear it. So can we put this on the agenda for our meeting that's coming up in 2 days? That's part, you know, being able to prevent the meetings, you know, the number of meetings from blowing up is that, hey, we have a recurring hour once a week. So what, you know, if we didn't have that, what would normally turn into 3 meetings a week, everything is just is compartmentalized into one. So I, for the most part, I've had success with that. And yeah, I tried to, like John said, try to group them with as minimal breaks in between. This week, it's definitely been thrown off. Just, you know, the week start off, you know, one with a holiday, and then I got sick, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday. So kind of rescheduling things, so it threw off the week a bit. But yeah, normally if you look at my calendar, for the most part, most of my meetings, most of my client facing meetings are Mondays and Wednesdays, with then a few sprinkled in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then my, you know, Fridays, I try to leave as wide open as possible.
Yeah, I think grouping it by days definitely helps too. Cause yeah, I mean, even if you can't do it in the specific amount of time, it's still the same idea where you're just freeing yourself up for work and, you know, without those meetings. I think another strategy I try to do to alleviate as many of those one-off meetings as possible is just trying to over-communicate through other methods as well, whether it be Slack in our case or email too. Or sometimes, you know, it obviously depends on the situation, but I mean, there's been a few cases where, oh, you know, like someone has said, wanted to jump on a call to discuss this, and I almost ignore that statement and try to answer the question or figure out what it is over Slack. And many times actually it's, oh, we don't need to have a call anymore. So for me, that works sometimes.
No, I agree. So, I mean, I think this has been a great conversation. I think a few of the key points that have come out of it is really taking charge of your calendar and not accepting the status quo. Mm-hmm. And, I think a big part of that, John, is what you mentioned. It really comes down to the importance of communication, and most meetings are scheduled as a form of communication. And if people aren't getting what they need, or they don't feel like, you know, things are moving forward, the natural reaction is, oh, we need to schedule a meeting to talk about this. So there's a lot that can be done proactively to help limit the number of meetings that we have. And there's a lot that can be done proactively to no longer just accept the status quo and to challenge, you know, why are we having this meeting? Is this possible? Am I really required to be there? And if so, what outcome am I going to take away from the meeting? I don't know. I think it was John you mentioned, or maybe it was Jim that said, if you know, I'm not participating in the meeting, why am I there? You know, what's the point? So, you know, really challenging some of those assumptions for how we operate. And again, even if you're in a large corporation, I'm taking the stance that you can have a fairly large impact, whether you believe it or not, by simply stating the way that you operate, and letting people know that you're taking a very proactive approach to how you're planning and attending meetings. That can have an impact across your organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Just never accepting the status quo is the way to go.
or along with that, and just putting yourself on autopilot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So be the change. Make a change. Be proactive.
Yep. And never forget the bigger picture, because even if the meetings seem like they're a good thing in the short term, just remember that they can have detrimental impact on your overall product, the big picture of productivity for your day. So.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to reach us, you can do so by emailing podcast@33sticks.com or on the web at www.33sticks.com. The 33 Tangents podcast is a production of 33 Sticks.